طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to take the seventh hadith. This is our seventh session in Arabic lessons in hadith, level 3, al-mustawa thalith, from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic language program. The hadith that we're going to do today is entitled "Fi dhimmi man yatakhalla fi tariq an-nasi aw fi dhillihim." Yani that it is blameworthy, yani concerning the blameworthiness of the one who relieves theirself, yani who defecates or urinates in the road or the walkways of the people or their places, their shaded areas, meaning the places where they rest in the shade. The hadith for today, hadith al-hadithu as-sabi'u, is an Abi Hurairata. Is that microphone over there, please? Allahu musta'an. Jazakallah khair. Naam. The hadith is the hadith, seventh hadith, an Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, اتقوا اللعانين قالوا وما اللعانان يا رسول الله قال الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس أو في ذلهم. And this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Okay, let's look at the meaning of the hadith a little bit and some of the words before we go on. An Abi Hurairata, and notice that Hurairata has fatha. Why does it take fatha here? Okay, that's true, it's mamnu min al-sarf, but is every word that's mamnu min al-sarf take fatha? It's mudaf ilay? Okay, so he said it's مضاف إليه, therefore it's مجرور. But in this case, because it is ممنوع من الصرف, the sign of it being مجرور is فتحة. Okay, I'm just pointing this out because this is something that we see all the time, and we need to remember, why is this word, which is مجرور, taking فتحة instead of كسرة? Because it's ممنوع من الصرف. Object of a preposition. Here, this is the object of the preposition, ab. The word ab, yani, is the object of the preposition. But this word here is mudafun ilayhi. It's majroor because it's mudaf ilayhi. Yani, ab is majroor because it's the object of the preposition. But Hurayra is mudafun ilayhi majroor. And because it's mamnu min al-sarf, it doesn't take kasra when it's majroor, rather it takes fatha. An Abi Hurayrata radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, yani on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And notice here that Rasul, this word Rasul, it is also taking fatha. Why is it taking fatha? Ismu Anna, ismu Anna. Yani Anna is from Akhawatu Anna, and the ism of inna or enna is mansub, and the khabar of it is what? Marfu'un. Okay, so this here is mansub because it's ism enna. And then the lafz al-jalala, it is taking kasra because what? Mudawfun ilayhi majroor. Okay, so on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, anna rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. Allahu, lafz al-jalala here is taking dhamma. Why? Fa'il of the verb salla. So here we see that it takes kasra, and here it takes dhamma. Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqu means what?
Fear.
Yani beware, take care, avoid, stay away from. Ittaqu al-la'anain. Notice that the lam, after the alif lam, in al-la'anain, the lamb should have shadda. Maybe in the book it doesn't have shadda. Naam, in the book it does not have shadda. This second lamb, the lamb of the word, la'an, should have shadda. And then the ayn also has shadda. Okay? Ittaqu al-la'anain. Al-la'anain, yani, according to this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the intended meaning of al-la'anain, يعني it is الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس أو في ذلهم. يعني what is intended by this word is the one who is cursed because he relieves himself in the walkways or in the roadways or in the places of shade of the people. The one who is cursed. So even though يعني the meaning here is the one who curses, but what is intended is the one who is cursed. Okay? يعني in other words, the La'in is the one who curses. Ism fa'il, la'in. And the mal'un, ism maf'ul, is the one who is cursed. But even though the ism fa'il form is used here, but what is intended is the ism maf'ul, the one who is cursed because of their action, because of relieving themselves in the walkways of the people. Ittaqu al-la'anain. And here, la'anain is mansub, maf'ulun bihi, mansub, and the sign that it's mansub is what?
Yeah,
because of what?
Because
it's jam. La'anain. Musanna, musanna, because it's dual. Two things. Yani the one who urinates in the roads of the people, and the one who urinates in the shaded areas of the people. It's dual too. Al-la'anain. Here it is mansub because it's the object of the verb. Here it is marfu'un because it's in the jumla ismiya mubtada khabar. Marfu'un. Alright? Ittaqu al-la'anain. Yani beware of. Take precautions from. Distance yourself from al-la'anain. Yani, being the one who is cursed because of engaging in one of these two things. Relieving yourself in the roadways of the people or in the shaded areas that they take rest in. Qalu. They said, the people, when the Prophet ﷺ said this, they said, وَمَا أَلَّعَنَانِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَمَلَّعَنَانِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And what is اللَّعَنَان? What are these two curses or two who are cursed? That's what the intended meaning is. O Messenger of Allah. And if the people wanted to know what is this? The Prophet ﷺ said, الَّذِي, the one who يَتَخَلَّى, relieves theirself, evacuates their bowels. Yani, let's loose from their body the waste that the body didn't digest. الَّذِي يَتَخَلَّ فِي طَرِيقِ النَّاسِ أَوْ فِي ذِلِّهِمْ. Yani the one who relieves himself in the tariq, in the way of the people, meaning the roadways, the walkways of the people, أَوْ فِي ذِلِّهِمْ, or in their shaded areas, meaning the shaded areas that they take rest in. رواه مسلم, reported by Imam Muslim رحمه الله. Okay, again. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اتقوا اللعانين. Notice this one اللعانين and this one اللعانان. This one is منسوب, this one is مرفون. Same exact word, same exact meaning. اتقوا اللعانين. Beware of being one of the two who are cursed. قالوا وما اللعانان. And what are those two things that cause a person to be cursed? Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, he said, الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس, the one who relieves himself in the roadway of the people, or في ذلهم, in the shaded areas, رواه مسلم. Any question about the words of this hadith? Any word that's not clear? A word that's not clear. Now. No. He said, he's thinking that Abi has Ya because of An. Why does it have Ya? Anybody? Is it because of An or some other reason? Okay. Why does it have Ya? Yani this Ya here is not a sign of I'rab. Slow down. One at a time. I can only hear one person at a time. Now. Abu is from Asma al-Khamsa, okay. That's part of the answer. Okay, so if it's Majroor and it's from Asma al-Khamsa, then the sign of it... Hold on, I'm going to give him a chance. Then the sign of it being Majroor is Ya. That's what you're saying? Yeah. You have a different answer?
Yes.
That's a good answer, but it's not the correct answer. No.
Because An comes before the Abi and An is...
Preposition. I think that's what he's saying. Naam, Abu Bakr, different answer. Huh? Noon al-Wukhaya. If I said, Hada Qalami, what does that mean? This is my pen. The Ya in Qalami, what Ya is this? This is Ya al-Mutakallam. My father. An Abi. The father of, you're right. An Abi, the father of Abu Hurairah. Okay, so it is as Mustafa said. Yani that the word is, yani because of An, then it's Majroor, and the sign of it being Majroor is what? Is Ya, because it's from Asma al-Khamsa. Okay, Alhamdulillah. This is correct. Okay. And that's what Menti was saying also. Okay. An Abi Hurairata. Okay, so the reason why it's Ya is because this word Abu is from the Asma al-Khamsa. Because the word Abu is from Asma al-Khamsa. And these five nouns, whenever they are Majroor, then they take Ya. And if they are Marfoon, then they take Alif. And if they are Marfoon, they take Waw. And when they are Mansoob, they take Alif. Yani Fatta Alif if it's Mansoob. Kasra Ya if it's Majroor, and Dhamma Waw when it is Marfoon. Okay, because it's from the Asma al-Khamsa. Alright? Any other word in this hadith? Another word. Naam. Any other word? Okay, Barakallahu Fikum. Okay, so, Yani, Naam.
So, what is the pattern of the fa'il? La'an.
Yeah, it's the pattern of Sigat al-Mubalagha. Yani, like Ghaffar. Ghaffar, yani ghafur, ghaffar. It's a siga mubalaga, yani intensive form. Fa'al, fa'al. Ittaqu al-la'anain. Okay? Beware of, be cautioned from, distance yourself from the la'anain, yani those who are cursed. Yani mal'oon, because of the action of urinating or defecating in the roads of the people. Qalu wa man la'anan, and what are the two? Yani, who are cursed, Ya Rasulullah, he said, the one who relieves himself in the road of the people or in their shade, Rawahu Muslim. Okay. Well, we just want to add here, briefly, Yani, وَفِي رِوَايَةِ إِبْنِ حِبَّانِ. In a narration of Ibn Hibban, Yani he said, yani the same hadith is narrated, but in the end of it he said, الَّذِي يَتَخَلَّ فِي طُرُق طُرُق النَّاسِ. Huh? In the hadith in Sahih Muslim said, فِي طَرِيقِ النَّاسِ, and Ibn Hibban said, طُرُق النَّاسِ, and in the roadways, plural, of the people, وَأَفْنِيَتِهِمْ أَفْنِيَتِهِمْ. Here, this word is different than what came in the hadith of Sahih Muslim. Yani in Sahih Muslim he said, in the road of the people, same here, roads of the people, أَوْ فِي ذِلِّهِمْ, in their shaded areas, and here he said, أَفْنِيَ, أَفْنِيَ is the plural of فِنَاءٌ. Afniya is the plural of fina'un. Fina'un. And fina'un means the saha, yani the space that is around the house, in the front of the house or on the sides of the house, the space that's immediately connected to a house. Yani a person is also not just in the shaded areas, but in areas that are yani considered to be somebody's area. You can't go in that area, whether in public or in private. You can't go in the public places where people seek shade and rest in the shade, no, in private areas around somebody's house, in the front of somebody's house, or in the back of somebody's house, or on the sides of somebody's house. And this is the meaning of what we understand from the narration of Ibn Hibban, that even in the private areas of the people, yani directly connected to a person's house, in their courtyard, or that which is beside the house, then nobody should urinate or defecate or relieve themselves in this area. And this narration of Ibn Hibban, Shaykh al-Albani said that it is Hassan, and Shaykh Shuayb al-Arnaut said that the isnad is Sahih ala sharti Muslim. That the isnad is Sahih ala sharti Muslim. That it's authentic according to the conditions of authenticity set by al-Imam Muslim. So this is an authentic narration, and it makes us to understand that the roadways of the people, the shaded areas of the people, the private areas around somebody's house, nobody should go beside somebody's house, on the side of it, in the front of it, or in the back of it, and relieve themselves. Now, okay, there are a couple of other points concerning this hadith that perhaps we can mention quickly. One of them is mentioned by a number of scholars concerning the meaning of al-la'anain or al-la'anan. Yani al-Imam al-Baghawi in his book Sharh al-Sunnah, hadith number 191, narrates this hadith, and he says the meaning of ittaqu al-la'anain, it means ittaqu al-amrain al-jalibain lil-la'ni wa dhalika anna man fa'alahuma lu'ina wa shutima. Yani he said the meaning of ittaqu al-la'anain, it means ittaqu al-amrain, the two matters, al-jalibain, which pull towards someone, or attract towards someone, or cause to befall someone, al-la'an, which cause a person to be cursed. Yani beware of these two matters, these two affairs, these two actions, which cause someone to be cursed. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ مَنْ فَعَلَهُمَا, and that is because whoever does these two things, yani urinates in the roadways of the people or in their shaded areas or in the areas around their houses, whoever does these two things, لُعِنَا وَشُتِمَا, these two people will be cursed and verbally abused. They will be cursed and verbally abused. And similarly, it is also mentioned by the scholar of hadith Al-Khattabi in his explanation of this hadith in Sahih Muslim. Yani he says, or it is mentioned in the explanation of Sahih Muslim, that Al-Imam Abu Sulaiman Al-Khattabi said, what is intended by Al-La'anain is Al-Amrain Al-Jalibain Lil-La'an Al-Hamilain An-Nas Alayhi Wad-Da'iyain Ilayhi. Yani, the two affairs which jalibain al-la'an, yani which cause a person to be cursed, al-hamilain al-nas alayhi, which yani prompt or move people to curse someone, al-da'iyain, that call, yani call people to curse someone. Yani meaning that these are two affairs, they are the cause of a person being cursed by the people. And that is because, yani it is from the adat al-nas. It is from the norm of the people that they would curse someone, that they would verbally abuse someone who commits these two acts. فَلَمَّا صَارَ سَبَبًا لِذَلِكَ أُضِيفَ اللَّعْنِ إِلَيْهِمَا. So when the doing of these two acts became the cause of a person being cursed, so the cursing is attributed to the people who do them. Yani it is as though the person who does one of these acts, knowing that this act caused him to be cursed, it is as though he's doing the cursing. It's as though he's the one who's cursing someone. Rather, he's the one who's being cursed, but he's the cause of the curse. So for this reason, it's attributed to him. Yani that he's the la'an, rather he's the mal'oon, the one who is cursed. But it's as though he's the curser, because he's the one who's causing the people to curse him.
So he's like, he's cursing himself.
As though he's cursing himself.
That's why it is fa'il.
That's why it's, yeah, fa'il. Now, it's, as some of the scholars said, yani, it actually is mentioned like this in the Sharh. And Ibn Athir says in his explanation of this hadith, he says that it is قَدْ يَكُونَ أَلَّاعِنْ أَيْضًا بِمَانَ الْمَلْعُونَ. That it may happen sometimes that the la'in, the ism fa'il, the cursor, comes with the meaning of al-mal'oon, the one who is cursed. And that's the case here. That it came with the meaning of the cursor, but rather he's the one who is being cursed. Ibn Athir said similar to this, yani that the meaning of la'anain is the two affairs that brings about a person being cursed. Yani that prompts the people to curse someone because the commission of this act is what causes the person who curses to curse the one who does it. And also he said in the explanation of this hadith that the meaning of yatakhalla, as we will see in our explanation in the book, yatakhalla fi tariq al-nas aw turuq al-nas, it means yataghawwat, yani to defecate in the places that the people walk by or pass by upon, the roads that the people travel upon or walk upon. And this act of doing so has been prohibited due to the fact that it caused harm to the Muslims. Because it caused people to be, yani, polluted with impurities as they pass by. And because of the stench or the evil smell that is caused, yani the result of people urinating or defecating in those places, and the filthiness and impurity of, yani, what happens to that place when a person urinates or defecates there. One last point I want to make here is that when we go through the notes of the book, we'll see that yatakhalla, the word yatakhalla, qala alladhi yatakhalla fi tariq an-nas, we will see that this word has been defined as yatagawwat. And yatagawwat normally means, yani, to defecate. A person defecating, and gha'it is a word that means, yani, literally it means the defecation itself, the feces. The feces is called gha'it. And the place where the person goes to relieve themselves, as we see in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, yani, where Allah talks about the ayat of wudu, where he says, the one who came, yani, جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنَ الْغَائِتِ. الْغَائِت here means the place of relieving oneself. Yani literally it means a flat land area where people go out to relieve themselves. Because in those days people didn't have bathrooms, right? But now the place that the people go to relieve themselves took on the meaning of the act of relieving oneself, or the actual feces, the defecation, yani, that comes from the person's body. In any case, the point I want to make here is that even though the word yataghawwat generally means defecation, some scholars of the sunnah have included urination in this, yani relieving yourself in general, defecation or urination. And from amongst them is in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, he mentioned this hadith under the title Dhikru al-Zajr an al-Bawli fi turuq al-Nasi wa afniyatihim. Yani the mention of the stern warning against urinating in the roadways of the people or in the areas around their houses. Yani Ibn Hibban made the title for this hadith the stern warning against urinating in the roads of the people. So he intends by this to say that the meaning is not exclusive to defecation. Rather, it also includes urinating. And similar to this is Al-Imam Abu Dawud in his Sunan in the Book of Tahara. He entitled the chapter under which this hadith came, Bab Al-Mawadi Al-Lati Naha Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam An Al-Bawl Fiha. Yani the places which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited urinating in them. So both Al-Imam Ibn Hibban and Al-Imam Abu Dawud yani entitled the chapter heading under which this hadith came in their books yani related to urination, urinating, not just defecation. Okay, let's go now to the text of our book and the explanation that came with it. And again, I want to refer you yani to the word ghait. I want to refer you to the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, 6th ayah, where yani the ayat of wudu is mentioned. And this word ghait came in that ayat, and some of the scholars yani said that ghait here, it means yani the place where a person goes to relieve themselves. It means yani the act of one relieving themselves, whether by urinating or by defecating. Okay, on page 21, Ma'ani al-Kalimat, the meaning of the words. Yani the meaning of the words that came in this hadith that requires some explanation. The first word, ittaqa al-shay'a. Ittaqa al-shay'a. And by the way, this word, ittaqa, it comes from the root waqa. Waqa. And the ta in it came, yani, the extra ta in it came because the waw in the original root is converted to a ta, and this is something yani that we will look at yani probably later on in those who are in level yani 3 or 4. Naam. Ittaqa al-shay. The meaning of it here in this hadith, the Prophet said, ittaqu al-la'anain. Ittaqa al-shay, it means hadirahu. Yani meaning to take precautions, to be cautious from that thing. Watajannabahu, and to avoid that thing or to distance oneself from it. Yani, so the meaning of ittaqa al-shay, it means to be warned, to take precaution from something and to avoid it, to distance yourself from it. The mudari form of ittaqa is yattaqi. Ittaqa yattaqi. And the amra is ittaqi. Yani the singular ittaqi. Here in the hadith we have the plural ittaqu. Meaning what? Yani take precautions, distance yourself, avoid yani these two things that cause a person to be cursed. The next word, takhalla. Takhalla literally means to empty or to drain something or to evacuate your bowels, to have a bowel movement. In Arabic, the meaning of takhalla is taghawwata. 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 And the mudari, yani taghawwata means to relieve yourself, yani to answer the call of nature, to urinate or to defecate. It's more commonly used for defecating, but it also, as we have mentioned, may also be applied to urinating. Now, yani, does this ruling apply to that? Not directly, but I mean, in general, the ruling that we understand from this hadith, as we look, as we go through it, yani can be applied to anything that a person does that cause harm to the people. Anything that cause harm to the people. But specifically, this hadith is in reference to relieving oneself. Yani, the waste that comes from your body, urinating or defecating. But as far as other things, if it cause harm to people, then it can come under the general ruling of this hadith, that it's not permissible to cause harm to the people. Not permissible.
On their waist and shit.
In the places where the people are going to walk, or in the places where people are going to take rest in the shade. Yani, if it's known that these places the people are going to seek, yani, to travel on this road or to rest in these places, then it's haram to do anything specifically defecating and urinating and whatever else might cause harm to the people in those places. Yani, in other words, like the people in the Western countries, especially in New York City, that walk their dogs and allow them to relieve themselves in the walkways of the people. Now, these people are definitely cursed by me every day. You can't even walk in the street. You can't walk, akhi. You can't walk. It's horrible. This is a filthy, nasty place. Anyway, takhalla, it means taghawwata. The mudari of takhalla is yatakhalla. Yatakhalla. Alright? And the next word is al-la'an. Al-la'an. Yani, it should have shadda on the lamb. That's right. Yani, alif, lam, lamb. The second lamb is the lamb of the word, la'an. That lamb should have shadda. Why should it have shadda? It should have shadda because the huruf is from the huruf shamsiyah. When it follows alif, lam, those letters which are sun letters take shadda. That's why you say ar-Rahman, ash-shamsu, and so on like this. Al-la'an. The intended meaning of Al-La'an here, Al-Murad Bihi Huna, what is intended here is Sahibu Al-La'an. Yani Sahibu La'an, the owner of the La'an, the one who's going to be cursed. Or in Arabic we would say, the meaning of Al-La'an here, it means Al-Mal'oon, the one who is cursed. Yani, but that person is cursed because they caused their self to be cursed. And that's why they're called Yani Al-La'an. Sahib Al-La'an. Alladhi Yala'anuhu An-Nasu. Yani, the intended meaning of La'an here is the one who the people curse. Naam. Al-La'an. That's the singular. Al-La'anan is the dual, or Al-La'anain if it is majrur or mansub. At-tariq ma'rufun, yani meaning the word tariq is known to everyone supposedly, but maybe not necessarily, right? I think it's known to everyone here. Now ma'ruf wa huwa as-sabil. At-tariq, it means as-sabil, the way. Alladhi yasluquhu an-nasu وَيَسِيرُونَ فِيهِ. يعني طريق, it means the sabil. Like we say, في سبيل الله. يعني in the way of Allah. So الطريق, it means السبيل. Here it means the sabil الذي يسلكه الناس, that the people take as a path. يعني the people take it as a path or walkway or roadway. وَيَسِيرُونَ فِيهِ, and they travel upon it. This is the meaning of at-tariq, the road, or the street, or the walkway. Al-zil, yani al-zil with kasra, al-zillu is also ma'ruf, yani it's a word that's known. If it's not known, the meaning of al-zil is what?
Shade.
The shade, naam, the shaded area, the place where there's some shade from the heat of the sun. وهو المكان الذي لا تأتيه أشعة الشمس. It is the place which لا تأتيه. It doesn't come to it. What doesn't come to it? أشعة الشمس. The rays of the sun. The rays, the heat rays of the sun doesn't reach that place. ويأتيه دوءها. But the light of it reaches it. Yani, the heat rays of the sun doesn't come to that place, but the light of the sun does come to it. This word, ash-shi'atu, ash-shamsu. Ash-shi'a is the plural of shu'a'un. Shu'a'un. Ash-shi'a means the rays, in this case, the rays of the sun. Its singular is shu'a'un. With Hamza Tulkat, Shu'a with Ayn. Yeah, two Ayns from Sha'a. Yani, Shu'a'un. Shu'a'un with two Ayns. Yani, from the verb Sha'a. 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 Two Ayns. Huh? Ghait. Ghait is ism fa'il. أم غاطة؟ غائت، غائت. غائت يعني in the Quran, in the ayat in the Quran, in chapter 5 verse 6, it came, غائت came, the meaning of the place where the person goes to relieve themselves. But غائت also means literally feces. يعني the feces that comes out of the person. Now,
what's the difference between لعنته is
لعنة لعنة is a curse. نعم, that's a noun. نعم, and this is يعني the يعني that is the لعن is the curse, and here لعن or لعان here the intensive form of it is the one who does the act of cursing. لعنة الله على الكافرين. نعم, the curse of Allah. By the way, the لعن يعني in the Sharia terminology, the la'an of Allah, it means al-bu'd an rahmatillah. It means to be distanced from the mercy of Allah. يعني when you say la'anatullah upon someone, it means may they be distanced from the mercy of Allah. يعني la'an, cursing, doesn't mean like in America, if they say he was cursing, they mean he was using profane language, using filthy language. But la'an, in the technical language of the Sharia, it means to supplicate against a person that Allah remove them from His mercy. It doesn't mean call them four-letter words or whatever. So cursing, it has a different meaning. What we are talking about here is different than what these people in their filthy language, what they mean when they talk about cursing.
That's Azim. What Allah is Azim. This curse is a mighty curse to them.
Naam, if you say, if you supplicate that Allah remove a person from His mercy, they are destroyed. Al-dhillu, it is ma'roof. It's the place that the rays of the sun doesn't come to, but the light of the sun reaches it. وَجَمْعُهُ ذِلَالٌ. And it's plural. The plural of al-dhillu is ذِلَالٌ. وَالْمُرَادْ بِالْذِلْهُنَا. And this is very important. What is intended by al-dhill in this hadith is al-makan al-dhalilu, the shaded area, الذي يستريح فيه الناس. The shaded area, الذي يستريح فيه الناس. The shaded area in which the people rest in. يستريح, they rest in that place. بعيدين عن حرارة الشمس. In order to be distanced from the heat of the sun. يعني people go in the shaded area and rest in order to what? To get away from the heat of the sun. So what is intended in this hadith, yani that the person who urinates or defecates in the shaded area of the people, mean not every shaded area, but the shaded area that is known that the people might rest in that place. But if it's a shaded area that nobody is going to rest in, then it doesn't matter. That's not applicable to that place. It's applicable to the shaded area that it is expected or likely that people might take that place as a place of rest and protection from the heat of the sun. Then it became haram to urinate or defecate in that particular place. Okay, as far as the meaning of this hadith, we're still on page 21, bottom of the page, after the meaning of the words, أَمَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُمَّتَهُ أَيَّتَجَنَّبُ فِعْلَ صَاحِبَيْ اللَّعْنِ الَّذَيْنِ يلعنهما الناس. يعني أمر رسول الله, the prophets, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded his ummah, أمته, to avoid يتجنب فعل the action of صاحبي اللعن. يعني the two people who are the owners of the curse, يعني who will be cursed. Those two who الذين يلعنهما الناس, who the people curse them. فلما سأل الصحابة منهما, so when the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, asked, who are those two people that we should avoid, يعني being, بينا عليه الصلاة والسلام, then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made clear, أنهما اللذان يتغوطان في طريق الناس وفي أماكن الذليلة. And he made clear, أنهما, that these two people, اللذان, are those who yataghawwatani, who relieve themselves in the tariq of the people, or in amakin al-zalila, in the shaded areas, yani that the people use to rest in. فَإِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِذَاءً لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. For indeed in doing these two things, urinating or relieving oneself in these two places, there's harm in it. إِذَاءً, harm for the Muslims. وَالْمُرَادِ, and this is the reason why it is prohibited, because of the harm that it caused to the people. And that's why, in reference to your question, I said yes, that could be included generally, because the reason for this prohibition is the harm that it caused to the people. So whatever caused harm to the people by qiyas could also be applicable to yani this same ruling. Then the as he said, al-murad bi-dhilli, what is intended by dhil huna in this hadith is al-amakin al-zalila. Al-amakin is the plural of makan or amkina. Yani makan is the singular, means place. Amkina is the plural, and amakin is the plural of the plural. Yani the places, al-zalila, which are shaded, allati yastarihu fiha nasi, in which the people seek to rest in those places. Amma al-amakin al-zalila al-mahjura, as far as the places which are shaded, but they are abandoned. They are abandoned, mahjura, التي لا يستعملها الناس. The people don't use those places. فلا يحرم التغوت فيها. Then it is not forbidden for a person to relieve themselves in those areas. Okay, so this is an important point, that the shaded areas that's intended here are the places that the people seek to rest in them, and it does not mean shaded areas that the people that are abandoned and that the people do not use, for it is not prohibited to relieve oneself in those areas. Okay, as far as the questions on page 22, As'ilatun, the first question, Man al-la'anan? Man al-la'anan? Yani Abu Bakr, na'am. الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس أو في ذلهم. نعم, that came directly from the hadith. نعم, and from the explanation of the hadith. صاحب اللعن. نعم. What else? In the explanation of the hadith, they said what? اللعنان is اللذان يتغوطان. اللذان, the two people who يتغوطان, who relieve themselves في طريق الناس أو في الأماكن الذليلة. نعم. Question number two. أيحرم التغوط في كل الأماكن الذليلة. The meaning of the question is what?
Is it prohibited?
Is it haram? Is it forbidden to what?
Defecate.
To defecate?
Defecating?
In every place
that is shaded.
Is it forbidden to defecate in every place that is shaded? Naam.
La.
La. Naam. يحرم التغوط تغوط
في أماكن التي يستريح فيه الناس بعيدين عن
حرارة الشمس. نعم. Yani it's not forbidden in every shaded place, but rather it's forbidden in the places, the shaded areas that the people seek rest in, yani, or seek to escape from the heat of the sun. Not in the places that have been abandoned that the people do not use. Question number three. مَا الْمُرَادُ بِاللَّعَانِ اللَّعَانِ في هذا الحديث. What is intended by the word اللعان in هذا الحديث? Mustafa. صاحب اللحن, نعم, مضاف إليه مجرور. الذي يلعنه الناس. يعني what is intended by اللعان, يعني صاحب اللحن الذي يلعنه الناس, يعني the one who has been cursed, يعني the one who is the owner of the curse, يعني who the people curse him. نعم, عبد الحق. نعم, or the one who relieves himself yani in the roadways of the people. Now, but perhaps the meaning of al-la'an here, that's what is yani al-la'an. It has two meanings here. Yani it has the literal meaning of the one who is yani a curser, but intending who is cursed, and it also has the meaning of what? What is the cause of that curse? Yani the action that the person does. طيب. Question number 4. اذكر معاني. Mention the meanings of the following words. اتقى. اتقى. What is the meaning of اتقى? اتقى. نعم موسى. حذره. وتجنبه. نعم. Yani meaning to take precaution from something, to protect yourself from something and to avoid it, to distance yourself from it. Takhalla. What is the meaning of takhalla? Naam. Oh. Waleed, you're behind me. I can't see you back here. Naam. Takhalla. Yatagawat. Aw tagawata. Naam. Naam. Tagawat. Naam. Yani takhalla, tagawat. Naam. After this, what else? That's two. Okay, two words. Okay, the next question, number 5. Hati, huh? Next question. Hati mudari al afal al atiya. The mudari of the following verbs. Ittaqa, yattaqi, yattaqi. Protect yourself from something. Avoid it. Distance yourself. Takhalla, yatakhalla, yatakhalla, takhalla, yatakhalla. Yani. Meaning تغوت. نعم. تغوت. يتغوت. لعن. يلعن. لعن means what? To curse. يلعن. نعم. Question number 6. هاتي جمع الطريق. الطرق. نعم. الطريقات. نعم. الظل. الظلال المكان أمكنة وأماكن أماكن يعني technically مكان the plural of مكان is أمكنة with تاء مربوطة and the plural of أمكنة is أماكن.
What's the difference between ظلو and ظلمات?
الظل is shade. ظلمات is from ظلم.
Darkness.
That's different. Shade and darkness. نعم. طيب, we still have a few minutes, okay, so let me just see if we can take this couple of minutes just to go back to something that we left from a while ago, and that is, yeah, the beginning, the introduction that we never finished, right? Al-Arnaut. Al-Arnaut, Ta, with Ta. Yeah, that's the name of a people from a certain place. Yani, that is, yani, Sheikh Al-Bani and Sheikh Al-Arnaut, they're from the same place, but they just used different names for their, yani, the people from the place where they're from. Okay. I don't know, the last one we did, I don't think we did number 3 from the introduction on page 4. So I'm going to quickly look at number 3. I'll just look at number 3. Yani, take just a couple of moments so that we can try to complete the introduction that we never completed from the beginning, right? This was from page 3 and 4 and 5. مقدمة في علم الحديث. Yani, the introduction to the knowledge of hadith. And point number 3 is said, منزلتي السنة من الكتاب. On page 4 in the beginning of our book, منزلتي السنة من الكتاب. This means what? منزلة السنة من الكتاب. The what? The status. The status of the Sunnah from the Quran. يعني the station of the Sunnah in reference to the Quran. Page 4 in the beginning of the book. Okay, in any case, I'm just going to read briefly from this section. Point number 3 on page 4. منزلة السنة means the station or the status of the Sunnah in reference to the Quran. What is the station of the Sunnah in reference to the Quran? Al-Quran al-Kareem huwa al-masdaru al-awwalu lil-ahkami al-shari'ati al-shara'iyyati fil-Islam. يعني the noble Quran, it is the first source, المصدر الأول للأحكام الشرعية for legal rulings in Islam. والسنة النبوية هي المصدر الثاني لهذه الأحكام. And the Sunnah النبوية, the prophetic Sunnah, it is the second source for these legal rulings. Okay, so what is the relationship from the Quran and the Sunnah? And if the Quran is the first source of legal rulings, the Sunnah is the second source. And we can add here to this that they are inseparable. They are inseparable. And first and second source doesn't mean that when a person is looking for a legal ruling, they have to look in the Quran first, and then if they don't find it, they look in the Sunnah. As came in a hadith that is not authentic. Yani when the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'adh to Jabal, according to the narration, and he asked him, yani, how are you going to judge the people? He said, I will judge them by the Quran. He said, what if you don't find it in the Quran? He said, I will judge by the Sunnah. This hadith is not authentic, as some of the earlier scholars said, like Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, and Shaykh al-Albani gave a long explanation about this, proving the incorrectness of the narration from the perspective of the chain of narration. It's weak, and from the perspective of the meaning, yani, that this is not, it's not a position of Islam that a person has to look for the ruling for something in the Quran first. And if they don't find it, only then they can go to the Sunnah. That's not correct. Rather, you can find the ruling in the Quran or in the Sunnah, wherever you find it. In terms of yani, the legality of the ruling that came from the Quran and the Sunnah, they are equal. Okay, manzilatul Quran min al-Sunnah min al-Kitab. Yani, we said the what? That the Quran is the first source, and the Sunnah is the second source for legal rulings. وَالسُنَّةُ تُفَسِّلُ الْقُرْآنَ وَتُبَيِّنُهُ. And this shows the excellence of the Sunnah. The Sunnah explains the Quran and makes it clear. تُفَسِّرُ الْقُرْآنَ وَتُبَيِّنُهُ. It explains the Quran and makes it clear. Yani what is not clear in the Quran is clarified in the Sunnah, in the explanations or the practices or the approvals of the Prophet ﷺ. We understand this from the Quran, Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 44th Ayat, the saying of Allah the Most High, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. And we have sent down to you the dhikr, meaning the Quran. لِتُبَيِّنَا لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So that you may make clear to the people what has been sent down to them. Who will make clear? The Prophet ﷺ. This ayat is one of the clearest proofs that the Quran is the clarification and explanation, the Sunnah is the clarification and explanation of the Quran. Yani, the Quran has been sent down, and the Prophet ﷺ has been sent to make it clear. لِتُبَيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. To make clear to the people what has been sent down to them. وَقَدْ أَمَرَنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And likewise, Allah has commanded us with obedience to His Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. فَقَالَ وَمَا أَتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. In Surah Hashr, 59th Surah, 7th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its meaning is, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ, يعني what has been given to you by the Messenger, فَخُذُوهُ, then take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ, and whatever he prohibits you from it, فَانْتَهُوا, then leave it. Showing the authority of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Whatever he allows for us, whatever he prohibits us, we comply with it. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And in another place, Allah the Most High says in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 80th Ayat, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the Messenger, then he has indeed obeyed Allah. Meaning, obedience to the Messenger is obedience to Allah. Compliance with the Sunnah is compliance with the command of Allah. So the Sunnah, in terms of its legal authority and our obligation to obey what came in the Sunnah, is the same as in the Quran. Whatever the Prophet gives you, leave it. Whatever he gives you, take it. And whatever he forbids you, leave it. Whatever he commands you, obey him. For obedience to the Messenger is obedience to Allah. And we'll just stop here with this point. And probably next week, if we have time, we'll take the the next point, which is the fourth point, and then there's a fifth point. Before we close out, just quickly, I want to read the hadith for next week. Hadith number, it's listed as hadith number 8 and 9. And I imagine that we're going to look at both of these hadith next week. Walaykum salam. But we will be required, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, to memorize one of them. And then the following week, inshallah, we'll memorize the second of them. So that, we'll just take one hadith each week. But we're going to read both of them next week. And perhaps, the following week, we might give some further explanation on the second of them according to time. Okay, so the hadith for next week, hadith on page 22, al-hadith al-thaminu. And then on the following page, 23, we have at-tasiu, the ninth hadith. Fi ghusli yawm al-jumu'ati. Yawm al-jumu'ati. Both of these hadith are related to this topic of the ghusl, or taking of a bath on the day of Jumu'ah. Okay, so the hadith number 8, the first of these two hadith, is an Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ghuslu yawm al-jumu'ati wajibun ala kulli muhtalimin. أخرجه السبعة. And we'll talk about the سبعة next week بإذن الله تعالى. عن أبي سعيد الخدري. On the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه. May Allah be pleased with him. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, غسل يوم الجمعة. The bath, the ghusl for the day of Jumu'ah is wajibun, obligatory, ala kulli muhtalimin, on every person that has reached the age of responsibility. Akhrajahu as-sab'atu, reported by the seven. In some books they use the expression rawahu al-jama'a, also having the same meaning as the seven, and those seven are al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the two Sahihain al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the four Sunan Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasai. We'll talk about them next week, inshallah, in detail. Okay, we'll now.
When we were talking about the introduction. About Sunnah al Quran and the legality, that we don't need to go to the Quran first.
No.
Can we say that the ruling in the Quran and in the Sunnah are equal?
They are equal.
You can say that?
They are equal. No. That's what I mean by the legality of them are equal. The legality of what came in the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah, is the same as the legality of what came in the Quran. There's no difference between them. They're both wahi, naam. They're both wahi, naam. Naam.
They mean
by that the first source that came to us came the Quran, and then the Sunnah came, right? The Quran was revealed and the Sunnah came along with it, to explain it. So the primary source is the Quran first and foremost, and the Sunnah is intended to clarify the Quran. The Sunnah is intended to explain, to clarify the Quran. No. But the point is, and I don't want to go on because of the time, but the point here is what? That nobody should distinguish between Quran and Sunnah in terms of how you practice Islam, that the Quran is more important than the Sunnah. Rather, as some of the scholars said, the Quran is in need of the Sunnah, not the Sunnah in need of the Quran. And this is what the scholars of Sunnah have said throughout history. Because as Allah said in the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ was sent to explain the Quran. The Quran needs to be explained, and that explanation is in the Sunnah. And the details of this require a course. We just have a paragraph here as an introduction to the idea of the legality of both the Quran and Sunnah. Both of them are revelation, and Allah said in the Quran, concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he says is not just from his desires, rather what he says is revelation. that is revealed. Yani the Quran and the Sunnah are both revelation in that sense. They are equal, they are equally valid, and they are equally obligatory upon us to comply with them. As long as the hadith is sahih. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.